Lord Jesus, I just we just come together as one body and we just look to you. You've met us this morning through worship. Lord, it's you that we sing to, but Lord, you are always there. You never let us go. But Lord, we just freely invite you together as your people this morning to speak to us, to speak to our hearts, to soften our hearts. Lord, we want to hear what you have to say. We want our lives to reflect what your glory is. So as Brian comes this morning, we just invite you to speak and give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know how many times I say this when I start a sermon, but as most of you know, I'm a pretty avid sports fan. In fact, I gave myself an excuse this morning to wear a jersey. I've never done that before at church. As a sports fan whose team is on the East Coast and plays, you know, at 10 o'clock almost every week, I have to try really hard to not look at my phone, to not read my Twitter, because I really, really want to know what's going on. I spend a lot of time during the week knowing what's going on, and so during the game, it's like, So last year, there was a 10 o'clock game. The Seahawks are playing at 10, Bills are playing at 10, and I wanted to see the game for some reason. And so right after the service, halftime's usually about 11:30 for the 10 o'clock game. So I grabbed Greg Zimmerman. Greg and I went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and it was a packed house because it was a Seahawks Sunday. And so we found a two-person table in the bar, and my game was like right there, so I got to watch my game. And I wasn't really paying attention to all the people that were around because I wanted to get into my game. So all of a sudden, there's a commercial, and so I take the time to look around, and there's a guy at my 11 o'clock. It's a four-top table, and it's just him by himself, and he put a tablecloth on the table, a Seahawks tablecloth. He grabbed a helmet. He had a helmet, had it on his table. He had one of those Seahawk, like, hat thingies on the table, and then he had some stuffed animals on the table. Hey, don't hate. So then, like, he's wearing the jersey, the jacket, the beads, a hat. Like, the dude was decked out in, like, fandom. And I'm a pretty avid fan, but I would never do anything like that. And so, like, I didn't know. I was trying to think, you know, is this something where he thinks that if you know, he does these things, his team will do better? It's kind of a good luck thing. If it doesn't, or if it works, it's not. If it works, it's not what? Weird. Yeah, that was weird. Then I would never do that. My team's lost for a long time, so maybe that's it. Maybe it's all contingent on me. As a kid, I would think at times, like, maybe there was sin in my life is the reason that the Bills lost four Super Bowls in a row. You know, and everyone loves to point out that Bills stands for, boy, I love losing Super Bowls, because I've never heard that before. And so, like, we give influence to our hobbies, right? Like, we make plans. We plan our day around our hobbies, right? Like, so if on Thursday the Bills played and lost, but, like, I couldn't wait to get to the game. I couldn't wait to watch the game, and I had to watch the pregame. And so with our hobbies, we give them influence over our lives. We even create family rules. Like, when the game's on, no kids are allowed downstairs. When the game's on, no, don't get in front of the TV. You may not. Like, so there's things that we do. We give influence to hobbies. And some of you may say, I don't give influence to my hobbies. And I would say, okay, how many of you adults have ever neglected sleep, neglected your spouse, neglected your kids, neglected your work in order to get the latest news on your sports team, get the newest video game and beat the video game, not just get it, but then beat it, or get the book, read the book, and realize, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in this book. I don't know if she's going to marry him. Like, I got to read the book. Like, it may change if I stop. So we give influence to our hobbies, and it's okay if we're tired the next day because it was worth it for my hobby. Right? So we give influence to those things in our life, and we will plan our day, plan our week. We will make rules for that. What else do we give influence to in our life? Besides hobbies, what else do we give influence to? We give influence to a lot of things in our life. We give influence to our family. Like, there's just family things. Hey, this is what we do in this family. Right? We give influence to our friends. And that's where that proverb comes out. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. There's a reason why that's a proverb, a wisdom thing. Because we give influence to our friends. We give influence to our work. We give influence to our comfort. We don't do certain things because what's most important to me is that I get what I want and I get the comfort things that matter to me. We give influence to what people think of us. We give influence to traditions. Hey, no, this is the way it is. Well, why? Because it just is. And we will plan our life based on those traditions. Well, when did that tradition start? Like, my dad always talked about Aunt Millie's ham. And whenever he went over to Aunt Millie's house, they had a ham. Well, Aunt Millie always cut off both ends of the ham. It's just the way she did it. So Aunt Millie did it, so this person did it, so this person. So someone finally went back and said, hey, Aunt Millie, why do you cut off the ends of the ham? She's like, oh, my pan was too small. Like, everyone thought that it's the way it was supposed to do because that's the way she did it. And it was like, oh, no, the pan was too small. Like, we plan our life around traditions at times. We also plan our life around past hurts, past pains. And we look at those and we don't do certain things because it's caused pain before in our lives. We also give influence to fear. We just don't do certain things because we're afraid that we can't control the outcome. There's so many things in our life that we give influence to. And the question I have is, what should we be giving influence to? What should we be giving influence to? Martin's away for the next 3 weeks on vacation at a family reunion in Colorado. So when we were talking about him going, we decided I would do a 3-week series. And I'm super excited because I've never done a 3-week series. I've been at EM 15 years and I've never done this before. I'm excited, but it's also really like, whoa, like, this is all, what does God want to do? And as I thought through it, I really wanted to focus on something that is really meaningful to us as a staff, as an elder team. And Elim exists to be an oasis for renewal between God and one another. Most of you guys have heard that. Elim exists to be an oasis between God and one another. And what that really means is we exist to help people have the relationship they were intended to have with God. Right? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created us in His image. He created us for a relationship with Him. When sin entered into the world, that relationship got marred. And so now, Then God sent Jesus down to die in our place to make a way for us to have a relationship with Him. And now it's about us returning to renewing the relationship that we were meant to have with God and with one another. Because sin affected our relationship with one another. So we're an oasis for renewal between God and one another. But as an oasis, we want to nurture passionate followers of Jesus Christ. See, we define a disciple as a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. How do we define disciple? So a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. And so the next 3 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what it means to be a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. See, when I say a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, a lot of us can think of people that when I think of them, I think of them as a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. And you have to ask the question, okay, what about them helps you see that they're a passionate follower of Jesus Christ? And for some of you, you've like, I've heard that question before. And that's because it's in a diagnostic tool that we created called the Three Hands. And the Three Hands, a diagnostic tool that helps you look at the relationships you do have and the relationships you should have. And as we've gone through this diagnostic tool with people, it's amazing how their answers line up so well with each other. Of what it looks like to be a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. So the first one we're going to look at is a passionate follower of Jesus Christ gives main influence in their life to the Word of God. A passionate follower of Jesus Christ gives main influence in their life to the Word of God. And so we're going to look at Psalm 1. So turn with me to Psalm 1. It's not up there, so if you're expecting to be up there, sorry. Martin's away, so you know, we'll do some. No, I'm just kidding. We're actually doing something else. So, hey, Nate. Nate's around here somewhere. Thank you. So Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither, and whatever they do prospers. As I read through this, this is a compare and contrast. David's comparing and contrasting what a wicked person does versus what a blessed person does. So the wicked and the blessed, and that's what he's comparing and contrasting. So let's look at the wicked first. So Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not. So he's talking about, okay, a blessed person doesn't do this. So the opposite of the blessed person in this passage is the wicked person. The blessed person is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So there's three examples that David is using. And in fact, this is a progression of how deep in you're getting. So it starts with the first is that the wicked walk in step with the wicked. Okay, the wicked walk in step with the wicked. You're like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. Well, we're comparing, contrasting. The blessed person doesn't do these things, so the wicked person does. So what does that mean? What does it mean the wicked walk in step with the wicked? That walk in step means, in the Hebrew, takes the counsel of, takes the advice of, has the purposes of. So in the midst of all of this, he's saying, hey, a wicked person seeks the advice of wicked people. He seeks the counsel of wicked people. He seeks the purposes of wicked people. So he's saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. It's not okay. So first of all, we should not seek the advice of, we should not seek the counsel of, we should not seek the purposes of those that don't love Jesus. Those that aren't pointing us to Jesus. In fact, as a kid growing up in the church, I often wondered, if I don't follow the ways of God and I do the things of this world, am I missing out? And I learned really quickly, what I'm missing out on is the hurt, the pain that comes with sin. The consequences that come with sin. Yeah, it may be, it feels good at the time, but ultimately the consequences are what don't feel good. And when I follow God, when I honor God, when I live for God, when I live out the ways of God, my life goes so much better. So the first is Wicked people seek out the counsel, the purposes, and the advice of the wicked. Okay, so it's the influence that they're giving into their life. The second example David is giving is standing in the way that sinners take. This means you're going down the path of sinners. You're not just listening to their advice. Now you're walking in step with them, doing the things that they do, acting the way they act. In fact, the word sinner there is the same word that's used about Sodom and Gomorrah. When Abraham went to go get his nephew out of Sodom and Gomorrah, all the sin that was going on there, that's what it's referencing. That's what it's saying. Hey, they're walking in these ways, doing the things that sinners do. So you're not just seeking that advice, but now you're living out that advice. And then the third example, David gives, sit in the company of mockers. You're giving influence to them so much so that now you're not just listening to them, walking in their way, but you're one of them. You're judging everyone around, focused on yourself, what you bring to the table. And when people don't measure up, you let them know. You become a mocker. So he's saying, this is what the wicked do. So if we're comparing, contrasting the wicked and the blessed, that's what we do. Is we start to allow, when we walk in the way of the wicked, we allow that to influence our lives. Hey, Nate, I didn't grab a couple plates. Can you get me two plates? See, I figured I would make pancakes this morning because I think it's a good example to us. Because a lot of times when you talk in ways like this, you're like, oh, I get this. You know, we need to give the word of God influence our life. Okay, we shouldn't listen to the wicked. But what happens is we don't even understand how much influence we allow culture to have in our life. We don't see how we give in. And so what happens is we believe, someone gets to eat. We believe that the word of God is important, right? So if we are a pancake and syrup is the word of God, we all as believers would say, yeah, it's important. It's important to have the influence of God on us. But you know something? I've got a really close friend, and this close friend, they may not love Jesus. But you know, it's okay because like I trust them and I like that, and a lot of times I will seek their advice and their counsel. You know, and so we may give influence to that. And you know, it's not just my friend, like I really, really enjoy listening to this music or watching these movies or watching these shows. And yeah, I understand that they give influence, but you know, I try not to give them too much influence, but you know, it does influence me. And then there's this girl. She knows how to salsa dance. I really like her. But I want to give her some influence too. So we start to look at all the different influences in our life. And we start to see how what happens is, yes, we value the word of God. We value the ways of God, but ultimately we don't follow them because they're not the main influences. It's one of many. So I figured, you know, someone want this? Yeah, a couple people raising their hand. The cumin tastes really good with the chocolate. So when we look at it, we say, okay, wait a minute. I believe that the word of God is important, but when we talk about it practically, the word of God becomes not the main influence, but one of many influences. A lot of us wonder, okay, God, where are you in my life? Where are you? Like, why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you telling me what to? Why aren't you guiding and directing me? And you look at it and you're like, okay, what are the influences in your life? What is the main influence in your life? Well, I don't know. I've got many. And so David's saying, hey, The wicked person, what they do is they listen to the wicked, they walk in the way of the wicked, and they become wicked. But then he contrasts. Actually, before we go there, like, I have a favorite verse on this, and I love it because it summarizes it really, really well. James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And we all say, absolutely, woohoo, yes. Like, even people who don't love Jesus say, yes, take care of people in need, right? Social justice, let's do this. Keep going. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. If we are a pancake and syrup is the word of God, what else are we giving influence to? Now, here's something that's important. We will always have many influences. We just will. We live in a crazy culture. But what are we giving the main influence to? What are we reading all of life through? What lens are we reading all of life through? Go back to Psalm 1, verse 2. But those whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yield its fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither, and whatever they do prospers. They delight. Like, delight. Like, they love it. It's not a burden for them. It's their desire. It's their pleasure. It's their longing. That's what that word delight means. So the first thing is, are we delighting in the ways of the Lord? Is it our pleasure or is it our burden? Do we see the ways of God as an important thing in our life? Or is it one of many? Because we should delight in it. And the law that he's talking about is, like, in context, it's talking about the first five books. But what we know to be true is that it's not just the first five books. It's the ways of God and how he chooses to speak, how he chooses to reveal them to us through Scripture. Because back then he had the Torah, he also had the prophets, but we have this 66 books that tell us how to live out the ways of God. And so our delight should be the ways of God, because when I know the ways of God, it should influence the way that I live. See, when I look at life, I look at my life through my glasses, right? I'm like, you guys are all blurry right now. When I put them on, I can see clearly. When I look at life through the lens of Scripture, how Scripture says we should live, it will change the way that I act and react in a culture that points me anywhere but towards God. So we need to delight in the law of the Lord. We need to know the ways of the Lord so that we can live them out. Second Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuke, correction, training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God, so that the disciple of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we know the way of God through the words of God, we will be equipped to live for God. It's not any harder today to live the ways of God than at any other point in history. We like to look at it and say, oh man, there's so much at our fingertips. Like, it's what's normal to us. It's what we're used to. Like, when you look at Roman culture, back when the disciples were on this earth, like, that was a hard, like, what was normal to them was different than what's normal to us, but it doesn't mean it was any less hard. We love to look, oh man, it's so hard to live for God in a pluralistic society. They lived in a pluralistic society. It's so hard to live for God. Like, there's porn at your fingertips. There's this at your fingertips. There's just so much around. It's different back then, but they still had lots of temptation everywhere. We need to let the laws of God, the ways of God, so influence us so that we can live for God as a passionate follower of Jesus. He says we need to meditate on his word day and night. And when I think of the word meditate, I think of a person sitting in a pretzel position, you know, with their fingers and just going om over and over again, trying to clear their mind. But that's not what's talked about here. In fact, throughout Scripture, you hear the word meditate often. And when Scripture is talking about meditating, it's actually talking about muttering under one's breath. And not in a bad way. Like, you guys remember that the dog in the cartoon? You know what I'm talking about? From like the space run. Okay. Wow. I watch too much cartoons. They influence me greatly. What it's talking about is, as I know the ways of God, I'm talking through the ways of God in my own head, so that when I'm going through life, I've meditated and I know, so therefore I live. It's what James says, not just be a hearer of the word, but an effectual doer. So when I meditate, when I think, when I consider, when I talk through the ways of God, I prepare myself so that when I get in those situations, I'm living out the ways of God. So being a hearer that leads to an effectual doer. Some people look at the Bible as a textbook, therefore I know about God, but it doesn't influence the way that I live for God. They can give you the right answer, but it doesn't influence. It's not the lens at which they look at life through. See, as a passionate follower of Jesus, we have to give the main influence to the Word of God, because that's how God has chosen to reveal himself to us. But some people are like, well, Brian, I do. I want to give God the influence in my life, and I want to listen to, I want to know what the Word of God is, and I want to live out the ways of God, but I don't like reading. I don't understand it when I read it. And I think that goes to what Larry talked about, is when it is like, when we seek it like treasure, it changes the way we go about it. See, when we put our faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, we engage now in a spiritual battle. The last thing Satan wants is for us to know the ways of God. So there's a spiritual battle that goes on, and there's a reason why I fall asleep when I read my Bible, but I can read a Tolkien book for 17 hours without stopping. I can't do that. Larry can. There's no spiritual battle at that point. And some of you are like, oh, it's not how I learn it. You know something? We live in a day and age where I can get the Bible in many translations. We live in a day and age where I can download an app and I can listen to the Bible on my phone, word for word, straight from Scripture. We live in an age where I can download podcasts, drive to my hour-long commute to work, well, my 10-minute commute to work, and listen to a podcast of a preacher. I can get a book that's about God, that's a commentary on God, and I can learn from that. Like, we have so many ways we can learn the ways of God, but a lot of times it's one of many. It's the syrup on this. But I have enough time to watch the whole 7-season, 7-year period of Voyager on my Netflix. And I can tell you almost every single episode of that. But yet, when I open my Bible, See, if our life's a pancake and syrup is the Word of God in our life, it should be so much a part of who we are that we're drenched in it. But even when I take it out of the syrup, it still tastes like it because it has so penetrated my life that I'm living it out. Has the Word of God penetrated so deeply in your life that people see the effects of the Word of God so that you live out the ways of God? The problem is, I think too often, God is one of many influences, not the main influence. When's the last time we planned our life around God and His ways? When's the last time I made family rules because of God and the influence that He has on me? I'm not saying be legalistic. That's not at all what I'm saying. See, I think we look at life in this way. You have the blessed and the wicked, and there's a gradient, right? So I'm not 100% wicked. I'm not 100% blessed. I'm 40% wicked and 60% blessed. Like, we look at it that way. Or we may look at it as the influence. Like, okay, wicked influence, godly influence. Well, I've got 60% good influence in my life and 40% bad influence in my life. Like, we have to look at it as, what is the main influence that we're giving to? Who's on the throne of our life? And am I reflecting that to others? We will always have other influences. God, we live in a crazy world. But what are the lenses we're looking through? What do we taste like? Are we allowing the Word of God to so influence us that we live out the ways of God? Are we being an effectual, not just a hearer, but an effectual doer? And this is the great thing. When we live out the ways of God and when we meditate on the ways of God, we flourish. Like, in life, what we want is, all of us want to flourish, right? We want to flourish. What does He say? When you do these things, the blessed person, he is like a tree planted by streams of water which yield its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And it's not saying that if you meditate on the Word of God and you live out the ways of God, your life will be easy. When it's saying blessed, it's saying you will be content because nothing else will matter. You will be like a tree that's not looking for water, because you know where your water is coming from. It's coming from the stream that's right next to you. When do you produce fruit? In season. Are there seasons? Yes. Are there seasons where life is going to be good? Yes. Are there seasons where it may be really hard? Yes. He's not saying you're not going to go through the seasons. But what he is saying is you will be firmly rooted and firmly established, and your leaves won't wither, and you will get fruit in season. And you will prosper, you will flourish, because what will matter is the ways of God being lived out. See, what happens when we get so focused on ourselves and what we want and what influences us, we forget what God wants. What's the main influence? What matters most? And that question is ultimately, who's on the throne of your life? If we're going to be a passionate follower of Jesus, God needs to be on the throne of my life. And what He wants me to do and how He wants me to live needs to be what I do. And if I don't understand, I invite people in. If I'm listening to a preacher and I'm not sure if what he's saying is right, I search it out. Don't listen to what I say only. Take what I say. Go back to Scripture. The Evangelical Free Church was founded on, where stands it written? When you get taught and you're not sure, look it up. Seek out people that you trust, that know the Word of God. But we have to let it influence everything you do. Don't be just a hearer, but an effectual doer. You know where you're at. You know what the main influences are on your life. I want you to take time. And I want you to think through that and pray through that. What is God asking you to respond to this morning? God, open our eyes and our hearts to where we've let past hurts, past pains, fears, what people think of us, change the way we live for you. God, open our eyes to the things that hold us back from living for you. Father, I just pray that your word would so influence us that it would help us live out your ways. We need you, God. In your name I pray. Amen.